All right, welcome back. This is Brian. I'm here with Alex again. Sports Talk for Fans by Fans, episode 16. This is the post-draft episode that we are going to be doing. Probably going to be a two-parter, but this one we just want to kind of quickly recap the first round and kind of give our thoughts on a couple of things that we like and didn't like. So before we get into that, Alex, the first thing I want to ask you before we get going is, what do you think about the whole Aaron Rodgers situation? Because it kind of almost stole the show, the draft. We got this kind of late minute, last second, even where the Niners admitted that they were willing to try to make a trade for Aaron Rodgers because he's an MVP. Why wouldn't you? You're crazy if you don't. And I respect that. And I actually like that. What did you think about that with Aaron Rodgers? And do you think that he's going to come back to Green Bay and play?
Two parts to that. One is, it's kind of sad for all the kids that are getting drafted on that day. It's kind of their day, the day they've been waiting all their life. And they kind of have something like that news kind of overshadow it. It kind of sucked for some of those guys. So, and I even heard some veteran players even talk out about it, but the kind of news kind of hit when it hit. One thing I do know, everyone's been trying to get their particular team they're going to trade to. I don't think the Green Bay is going to trade them. I think if they traded him before June 1st, they're going to get hit with a massive cap hit. Even after June 1st, they're going to get hit with a massive cap hit. And then also, there's no way they're trading him inside conference. Like, the 49ers will have to give up just the craziest draft haul or haul picks and players of all time to have even had Green Bay think about trading Aaron Rodgers. But it's what happens when teams don't treat their quarterbacks right. You know, we can talk about the quarterback and how, you know, people think too highly of them. But the thing about it is, if you don't have one, you don't have a chance.
Yeah, and think about it being a Bears fan. Like, Bears fans are looking at guys like you're crazy. Like, you have to take care of your quarterback. You don't know when those come around. Like, you've been absolutely spoiled. And that trade was the number three pick overall. Jimmy Garoppolo, additional picks and additional players on our current roster, and that was not enough for the Packers to change your mind. And it's kind of a weird situation because Aaron Rodgers wants a new contract, and the Packers want to extend him, which essentially means that they're going to defer money. They save, yes, they get him longer, but they get him essentially kind of cheaper. They save money, and also it allows him to be cut easier later on. So not really in Aaron Rodgers' best interest, especially after drafting a quarterback in the first round. And once again, like, just how they draft, it confuses me to the point where it's hard to respect the Packers GM. And I think I even saw something recently where it said it's kind of either the Packers GM or Rodgers, I think is what someone was rumored to say that Aaron Rodgers thought. But and the other thing is Deshaun Watson. Like, I guess it's kind of real now, Alex, like Davis Mills being the first pick for the Texans. A prospect quarterback who was one of the top quarterbacks coming out of high school, didn't play a lot, but Texans took a chance on him. And it's kind of weird because they're going to probably have the first pick again next year. So why even take quarterback now? But we can talk about that later if you're going to cover the Texans. So I thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah. It's just a crazy situation that we're talking about two of the great top five quarterbacks probably won't ever play for their team ever again. That's just crazy.
Yeah, definitely potentially a thing, which is just weird. And even saw the Russell Wilson thing in the offseason. Like, the whole time the podcast, I said it was BS. I didn't believe it one bit. It turned out to be BS. Now they're all buddy-buddy best friends, blah, blah, blah. So you guys got to take into account. Media does blow out a lot of things out of proportion, just like the Mac Jones 49ers thing. But anyways, let's get into this. What we're going to do now is I'm going to kind of cover pick by pick. Some of these a little quicker than others. But what we had compared to what really happened and just kind of see how we did. So, Alex, we're going to go through this. Top four picks, Jags, Jets, Niners, Falcons. We had those locked up. We had Lawrence, Wilson, Lance, and Pitts, which, you know, probably still better than half the people out there because half the people had Mac Jones going to Niners. So thank you, baby Jesus, that it wasn't Mac Jones for me. but I guess it was pretty much the room was kind of split. I guess, you know, they said that it was Trey Lance for a while. That's what Kyle Shanahan said. So we'll see how that plays out. Number five, the Bengals. So this is the first one I kind of talk about. I think this is I was one that mocked this one. I had them taking Sewell. tackle from Oregon. However, they went Ja'Marr Chase, and I was very against that. I think you were kind of on board with that. I didn't understand. Yes, and that's not to say Chase will not be a top five wide receiver as soon as this year, next year. I'm not saying that. It's just prioritizing need and understanding the value. Wide receivers, just to be honest, wide receivers don't make or break a team. Wide receivers don't push your team over the top. It's a lot of it's really in the trenches and the quarterback you have and certain players on defense. Yes, Ja'Marr Chase could be a game breaker, but I kind of want to go through some really quick with the offensive line of the Bengals. Riley Reiff is someone that they signed to be one of the tackles. He was the 38th graded tackle last year. So that means he's worse than half the tackles out there. This is of all tackles, left and right tackles. The other tackle, Jonah Williams, was a 44th graded tackle last year. Their guards were in the 60s, and their center was about middle. So their center was okay. I think Trey Hopkins was about like a 16 or something like that. So you have a terrible line, and you have a quarterback who felt the result of that. You see Joe Mixon has struggled to run the ball, even though he has tremendous talent. And what did you do? You went wide receiver. Your wide receiver is currently ranked 31st, 34th, Higgins and Boyd, and they could have been better if they had their quarterback all year. I'm not going to say that's their fault. So, if they would have done something different, Alex, like to me, you take the tackle, and then at the second pick, because in the second pick they took Jackson Carmen, which is actually a third round graded tackle, Clemson's tackle, who has some negatives against him, but they took him, I guess, to kick inside a guard maybe, because they have quote unquote two tackles. But it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't think Riley Reiff justifies signing a wide receiver, and I don't think Joe Burrows was demanding a wide receiver. Yes, he was probably a good friend of his. Yes, he probably liked it, but you got to take a tackle there, and then you can still take Rondale Moore later, who's actually a slot receiver, unlike Higgins, Boyd, and Ja'Marr Chase. None of those are true slot receivers. Rondale Moore is a true slot receiver, and he would have been there with their second pick. So I think the Bengals, yes, Ja'Marr Chase is a tremendous talent, but I think they missed. I missed on that one. What do you think, Alex?
I think the thing a lot of people don't really understand about the offensive line, you don't have to be great on it. You just can't suck. They sucked at the offensive line last year, and the people they signed aren't that much better. They kind of fill gaps. So they don't have to be amazing, but you need to start signing and drafting good players. They're at least above average. You at least need to be above. If you're the middle pack offensive line, you can definitely still run the ball, pass the ball, but the fact that they're so long, bad as they were last year, and they really aren't getting better this year, I'm with you. I think the tackle was a home run. It was a layup for them, but for some reason, they decided that they were just gonna say forget it. They don't sack a quarterback. We're gonna score the 8-yard bombs every time, apparently.
Yeah. And the other things you think, you look at that division. You got the Steelers with like TJ Watt. You got the Ravens who, they always produce edge rushers. You got the Browns who just have so probably just is going to sneak up on the league. I think they're set at 9.5 wins. And I think it's a sure bet that they could get to 11, 12 wins. That defense they're building is scary. And you have, and you're, so that's almost half your games. Well, that's, 6 year games. That's just not good. I mean, I don't want this to be a RG3 situation, but we could be going on that path. He may not be the same. We don't know. So I think they missed the ball. Same thing with the Dolphins, kind of like the Bengals, but even worse, Alex. Miami's O-line grades, their left tackle is 75th worst, left guard 70th worst. Their center didn't play enough to qualify. But the snaps he did play was actually lower than their guards, which I said were 70th, and also 30 and 52nd. So I guess 52nd is your best one. That's not really good. And your right tackle is Eichenberg, the tackle out of Notre Dame, who they took 42nd overall. So for Miami, that offensive line is worse than the Bengals' offensive line. They could have had any of the tackles here because the Bengals passed on them, and instead they went wide receiver. Now I get wide receiver is a different kind of wide receiver, but you still have Fuller, Preston Williams, Devontae Parker. And Fuller was actually technically the ninth rated wide receiver last year. He was actually rated ahead of Keenan Allen, Tyreek Hill, and DK Metcalf. So Will Fuller had a pretty good year last year with Devontae Parker and Preston Williams. And yes, they all have injury history. Yes, Jalen Waddle is kind of your gadget wide receiver, but once again, Just like I said for the Bengals, because they didn't do this, you could have taken Rondale Moore with your other four picks that they had, but they didn't. The Dolphins went somewhere else with that. So I thought it was kind of weird that they didn't go offensive line here. And you saw what happened to Burrow. Like, that's the path they're going down. They're going down the path of, Tua getting hurt potentially if he's going to get hit that many times. So, I mean, Alex, you had them taking Slater. I like that in the mock, but they took Jalen Waddle. What do you think about that?
Once again, just like the Bengals, it was a layup. I mean, Penei Sewell was there for the taking. I had them take, like I said, taking Slater, but I was like, okay, Penei Sewell is going here. It just, even if they believed in their tackles they drafted last year, you can put Penei guard. He's still going to be an upgrade over whoever your guard is. And I guess they just decided, just like the Bengals, run four wide receivers and hope we get the ball out quick.
And you can see the lines here at number seven. They don't have a wide receiver, and they took Sewell that was there, and it looks like that they're building from the interior out because I think their next two picks were defensive linemen. So they're building from the trenches, and you see some teams do that, and I think that's a very successful way. So even though the coach is quote unquote a knee biter, that's a good thing. The way at least the way they're building a team. Number eight pick, you had J.C. Horn. Going to the Panthers, that was a good pick, Alex. You got that one right. Number nine, I think that threw us all off, right, Alex? I there's a part of me that actually likes the Surtain going there. Yes, they have two other starting caliber corners, but when you have to play the Chiefs, you could line one of them up with Kelce. Maybe you could stay in your nickel package, so you don't have to worry because the Chiefs weren't really a great running team. Granted, they improved their offensive line this year, but I think Surtain threw us all for a loop and caused kind of chaos in the NFC East, right, Alex?
I wasn't surprised at the pick. I'm just saying to myself, thinking because Denver's in the mix with trading for Aaron. If they pass on two young quarterbacks for the simple fact that they might have a chance and Aaron Rodgers later in this year, that would be a dumb move. I'm hoping that they're really just passing on because they believe in Drew Lock. But Patrick Surtain, if you have a quarterback, Patrick Surtain is a great pick right there.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot. They kind of took the probably, in my opinion, the best player available. Next number 10, you had the it was 10, 11, 12, Cowboys, Giants, and Eagles. Your Cowboys made a trade with the Eagles. Being the Cowboys fan, what did you think about the trade and how did you think about it? Because it was kind of spiteful to the Giants in a way. What did you think about that trade, Alex?
For some reason, the last couple of years has been trading with Jerry Jones, and I don't know whether they're real friends in real life and don't want to tell anybody. But the Eagles allowed Dallas to trade last year to come up to get our center of the future, like late in the draft. So they've traded before, so I wasn't too surprised. I thought it was more back to what you said for the Giants because the Giants were definitely going to take a wide receiver. They're going to take DeVonta Smith. And Dallas can say, hey, we're going to take Parsons. The Eagles are going to take Parsons. Let's just trade back a couple of picks and get an extra pick and let the Eagles draft them. Now, the Cowboys are probably going to be thinking about that for the next 10 years. And Devontae torching them, man, round pick wasn't worth it.
Is there a team that the Cowboys hate more or most in the NFC East, or is it all just equal?
Oh. You know what? It all depends. Like, it's a fan base. A fan base hates maybe the Steelers a little bit more. I'd say my generation, we hate probably the Redskins and Washington football team and maybe the 49ers. I think the newer fans hate the Eagles and the Giants a lot more. So it kind of varies on what type of fan you are.
Yeah, so we saw the Cowboys trade out the Eagles. The Eagles took Smith, like you talked about. Then the Giants at 11 weren't able to get Smith because I think that was one of the rumors they wanted Waddle or Smith. We had Waddle going to the Giants, but this is where I think I also said that Fields is possible to go to Patriots, Washington, or the Bears if he was still available, and that's exactly what happened. Chicago traded up, so props to their GM, even though he's on his last legs potentially. But at the same time, you know, Chicago trading up, I think the question is, why did Fields fall to 11? Was there anything that you saw, Alex, of why he fell to 11? Because, you know, he was the second best quarterback coming into the year. But, you know, what are your thoughts on that one?
Well, I think there's been a lot of talking about Justin Fields and about his decision makings. I don't know where this has come from. It's almost like we talked earlier about the media-driven things. I just think a lot of it's really just been media-driven. Justin Fields was the second-best quarterback coming into the year, and he went from being the second to being the third to being out of the top 10. I don't know where it came from and what the scouts have been thinking, but, I mean, Justin Fields to me is just as good as all the other top two quarterbacks. I'd take him.
I mean, to me, he looks like he could be like a Deshaun Watson type, maybe not as much pocket elusiveness. The only thing that I really saw from Justin Fields that kind of concerned me was almost like a Jimmy Garoppolo effect, which is maybe why the Niners didn't take him. And by that, I mean, he makes two or three throws at the college level where I'm just like, why did you throw that ball? And because it's a college level, usually not intercepted, but the pro level, probably at least one or two of those will be intercepted depending on who tries to pick it off. Like half the, you know, the Washington cornerbacks back in the day have stone hands like Carlos Rogers, but it'll just really depend, you know, at that pro level. I think, you know, he'll improve as that time goes on. So, you know, I hope he doesn't end up being better Trey Lance, because that's just going to make us really look stupid. But yeah, I mean, I think Chicago, phenomenal moving up and getting Justin Fields. So that worked out great, I think, for them. Because honestly, going into the year with Andy Dalton, you know, that's ensuring you're getting fired. All right, so let's move on next to the Eagles. The 12th pick was originally in the Eagles pick. They made that weird deal once again with the Cowboys, where the Cowboys moved back. So, Alex, you had Devonta Smith going to the Eagles at 12. Of course, the Eagles moving up. He was taken at 10, so you're still technically right by the person. Then the Cowboys moved back to 12, and they took Parsons. For me, at first, it was kind of, you know, surprising, but at the same time, I'm going to talk about Dallas and why I like Dallas's draft. But to me, I think what they did was very smart. The top two corners were off the board. Instead of just jumping ship and going back to offense or something, yes, I think maybe I would have went offensive tackle just for safety reasons, for, you know, because it's really hard to tough to expect the Cowboys offensive line to stay healthy. You probably know that more than I do, Alex, but at the end of the day, took Micah Parsons. I think that's a great pick for them. Are you excited about that pick?
I'm happy. Okay with it that they went defense. I was a little scared a little bit that they do something really crazy, go a higher wide receiver. I'm fine with it. It just tells me what we think of our defense, more factly the linebacking core. It means that they don't really think highly of a Vander Esch. Vander Esch is probably not going to get his fifth-year option picked up. I think they have a week to discover that, so they're probably not going to get it. But it tells me also, I heard after the draft, they actually talk about going 3-4. So Parsons will fit into a 3-4 perfectly. So at the beginning, it kind of sounded like, oh, why are we going linebacker? But when you really think about it, it makes sense. And plus, that was one of the worst run defenses Dallas has ever had. They got to have somebody stop the run. Michael Parsons is going to stop the run.
God, I hope when you just said they changed the 3-4, I hope that happened. I hope they knew that before the draft and not after the draft, because that'd be a really dumb situation. But yeah, Mike Parsons, that's a great pick there for the Cowboys at 12. Traded back, like you said, they got initial pick. So worked out pretty well. Next, 13, the Chargers, we had them taking Darisaw, and they have getting Slater, which is tremendous because Slater is potentially the number one tackle in the draft. So I think that was great. Number 14, you had the Vikings take Vera Tucker. The Jets made that trade. The Jets moved up to 14, and they got Vera Tucker. So you were still right by the person or the person going to that position. 15, we had Justin Fields sliding to 15. But, you know, at the day they took Mac Jones. The more I just think about it, the more I really hope Mac Jones works out for someone. Just seeing his physique, seeing how he is. You know, I've kind of talked negatively about him. Even for a first-round quarterback, I'm kind of scared about it. But at the end of the day, the Patriots didn't have to move anywhere, and they still got a, quote-unquote, top quarterback. Well, not top, but the third best quarterback overall, and half the scouts' eyes out there, half the media's eyes out there, because if they're willing to say three to Mac Jones, then that means he's good enough to be at number 15 to the Patriots. So if you look at it that way, that's a phenomenal selection for the Patriots there. Now, Alex, you had the Cardinals taking the corner Greg Newsom. They took Collins, which I know we'll talk about that later. That was kind of odd for us. Speaking of odd, the Raiders, I self-identified that I hated making this mock draft, because you cannot mock draft the Raiders. It's literally impossible. I had them taking Barmore, who ended up slipping to the second round, I think. And they ended up jumping, and they ended up taking a right tackle and Leatherwood out of Alabama. But he's more slated to be a guard, which is weird, because Las Vegas technically needed a tackle. So it's kind of a weird situation to move up. I think he was a ninth ranked tackle. So, that's kind of weird. For Miami, well, you had Pay. It ended up being Phillips. So we said defensive end. So we just took the wrong one. For Washington, we've had them taking JOK, linebacker, ended up going Davis. I think we like Davis going there better to Washington anyways. 20, the Bears. I had them for Mac Jones, and of course they moved up to get a quarterback, so it worked out. But for the Giants, good for them, trading back, getting additional picks. Their GM did a really good job. He was lauded by a lot of people. Number 21, we got the Colts taking an edge rusher. We just picked the wrong one. Now, the one thing I will say about 22, Alex, you said that before you actually made your pick, you said that you would love for them to take Farley there, and they end up taking Farley there. And I think you actually mocked Moore going to them, but I think Moore, the wide receiver that ended up going to the Jets, I think, but Rondell Moore, the wide receiver, ended up going to the Cardinals. Sorry. But Farley, he's a 4.39 speed. He's a top 10 corner of healthy, but he had injury issues. So, well, what do you think about that, Alex? You like that pick of Farley going to 22 Titans to replace Dory Jackson going off to the Giants?
If Farley's back holds up, he might be the best corner in this draft, hands down. We might look at it back at him. He's a top five corner in 5 years. He might be as good as Jalen Ramsey in a couple of years. So he's that talented. The problem was his back. And when people red flagged him for his back, he just fell down boards. And I wasn't surprised he still was in the first round, but I thought that maybe he may have fallen out the first round just because people don't want to guarantee that much money if they think a player's injury prone.
Yeah, so I think that's a great pick. And like you said, and like I said before, I think Farley could potentially be the top corner. Even though I know people say J.C. Horn's the top corner, I think Farley's a slightly better corner. All right, next, number 23, the Jets had the original pick. We had them taking a defensive end, I think, Phillips. But that pick got traded. So the Vikings moved back and still got their offensive lineman they wanted. So they got Darisaw, tackle out of Virginia Tech, I believe. So we originally had them taking Vera Tucker. So honestly, to me, this works out great for the Vikings. They get additional picks. They still get the offensive lineman that they desperately needed. This all happened because the Bengals and the Dolphins passed up on honestly their greatest needs of offensive line. So these other teams sneak in and steal these offensive linemen. Now, the biggest issue in this draft that you pointed out, Alex, early on, and I 100% agree with you, is what the Steelers did. You said they should have taken Jenkins, the offensive tackle at Oklahoma State, who actually slid to the second round, surprisingly. Jenkins actually has, I believe, the third highest grade of all tackles in college football last year. Now, granted, a couple didn't play, but that's how good he was. He was the third highest graded tackle. So, the Steelers decided to pass on them, and they took Harris, the running back out of Alabama. Yes, Harris is a stud. Maybe this is the pick because people just want to believe every Alabama running back can turn into Derrick Henry, which is not possible because there's a lot of running backs, including the one in Green Bay that ate himself out of the league, Eddie Lacy. So it doesn't always work out that way. So the thing that I want to point out is, I gave you guys the grades before for the offensive line. Now, here are the Steelers' offensive linemen for their projected offensive line this year after the draft happened. Their left tackle, 76th best left tackle in football. So he's worse than backups. Left guard is a 28. Okay, that's of the guards, that's about average. Your right guard, DeCastro, who's usually think DeCastro, Alex, and we think, you know, an elite right guard. He's a 28th ranked right guard. So, you know, maybe he's slipping off a little bit. Center retired. Pouncey retired. And so the replacement is actually the former, I think, Seahawks center who didn't play a lot, and he didn't play last year. So you have a center who hasn't really played a lot. And then you have a right tackle who left Villanueva, left, and he's supposedly going to the Ravens. And they replaced him with the fourth rounder, that fourth rounder from 2017 that had a grade around your left tackle, which was 76. So you have two tackles. Your bookend tackles are in the 70s. So they're both worse than starting tackles across the NFL and some backup tackles. Your guards are okay, and your center really hasn't played much lately. And you didn't really do much to help your team. So it's kind of weird thinking that your running back is going to fix the problem. And offensive lineman they took a tackle in the fourth round and a center in the third round. I don't think those two things fix your problem. Third rounders, fourth rounders don't come in and fix your offensive line issues. Alex, this makes no sense to me. Harris is not going to fix it. I don't know a single running back. I mean, you look at Zeke last year. You had every lineman go down except for your right guard, Alex, right? Who's your right? You had one right guard left that was left healthy, and then he ended up getting hurt also. Wasn't that correct, Alex?
Basically, really, the whole offensive line had been out at least for one game except for probably Carter Williams on the left-hand side. But, yeah, 4 to 5 got hurt sometime this year, yep.
Yeah, you cannot fix that problem. And the reason why the Steelers threw so much is because they couldn't trust their offensive line to run on third and one and third and two and stuff like that. So they had to throw a lot. They put a lot of throws on Big Ben. You shouldn't be asking a quarterback at that age and also that physique to throw that much. I get people think it's a sexy pick, but it's a dumb pick, in my opinion. It's a very dumb pick. It's not going to fix a single thing for the Steelers. This is your one last ride with Big Ben. So Alex, what'd you think about that? I know you already said you didn't think about Harris being drafted there, but to actually see it happen, what did you think?
I wasn't shocked. I had heard they had done a lot of work on Big Ben. I'm not Big Ben, but on Najee Harris. And even hearing about after the draft, the guy sounds like he's a great guy. But the thing about it is like you said, it's putting a running back is not going to fix their offensive line woes. They lost basically their offensive line went great last year, and they lost guys they didn't replace them. So they're going to be basically in the same exact situation they were last year, this year. So I understand them being the back of the draft is one of those things that you want the player, but either you trade back and get them in a later round, or maybe trade up from another round to make it make more sense. But I knew they were going to do it, but I didn't agree with it. And they're going to struggle for it.
And the weird thing is, like, Harris, he's not even the first ranked. He's not even the top ranked running back. It's the running back in North Carolina is technically number one ranked running back in the draft. So, and he didn't go till the second round. So, you know, that just didn't make sense to me. Number 25, the Jaguars. I had them linked up with the top safety out of TCU, but ended up being, I don't know, it's his name. The running back of Clemson, though,
Travis Etienne.
Yeah. I just know that Clemson people kill my Florida State team, so I usually just don't like them. It's kind of weird. I know you talked up having James Robinson as your running back, and he carried you to the championship or whatever. But you have a good running back, and then you use a first-round pick on a running back when your team has desperate needs. Didn't make any sense to me. I get that Urban Meyer wants his running back and his style of running back, but it's just like, it's almost like the NFL hasn't really fully clicked to him that, hey, this is different. You can't just kind of take your recruited players and change the program based on how you coach. Talent actually matters in the NFL. So I thought that was kind of a weird pick. What did you think, Alex? Did you like that pick to them?
If it was in the second round, I would have liked it. I thought they probably could have got to him and maybe 34, 35 when the next pick was. So I thought it would make sense. If I was them, I would have took, Greg Newsome or one of the other cornerbacks. because they definitely at the time need a cornerback that's opposite of CJ Henderson, who they drafted last year. They definitely need an offensive lineman. Offensive lineman pick would have been here great to really help out your young quarterback. But I like the pick. I just don't like where it's at.
I guess the only thing I'll counter with is that, they signed Griffin. So, I mean, maybe they needed to look at a premier slot corner somewhere. But yeah, I agree with you. I think there's other places they could have addressed. All right, so let's move on. The Browns end up getting Greg Newsome. So that's a great pick for them. Once again, they've just bolstered that secondary. It's gonna be a scary team. If the quarterback, Baker Mayfield, can keep doing what he was doing, which is kind of a game manager, honestly. The Ravens ending up getting the wide receiver Bateman, what out of Minnesota, I believe. So it's a pretty good move for them. The Saints, I think, probably with the most confusing pick in the first round outside the Raiders, taking Payne Turner, a third round graded pass rusher. The justification was you need more people to go after Tom Brady, but honestly, we'll get to this later, but it still made no sense. Packers end up getting Stokes, the corner out of Georgia. We had them linked to a wide receiver. We'll talk about that later. Bills, you had them taking Basham, or yeah, you had them taking Basham, but they ended up getting Rousseau. I think that's how you say his last name. But the odd part is Basham ended up getting taken in the second round. So the Buffalo Bills got two edge rushers back to back. So that's a pretty good move by them. Ravens still took a pass rusher, and then the Bucks took a pass rusher. So we didn't pick the right ones there, but we had at least positions kind of right. So that was pretty good. So I think we did pretty good, Alex. Especially for the first mock draft we're doing. It's a lot of fun doing this stuff, and I'm looking forward to watching a lot more college football this year to try to get more into this going forward. But let's get into our couple more categories. We're gonna go best picks, picks, and by best picks and worst picks, I mean for the team and the player, what the match is, Alex, and then we're also going to do the overall teams that we think did the best and the worst. So let's start with the best picks in terms of what picks are best for the player and the team. Alex, do you which one of the whole draft stands out for you that's a best pick for the player and the team?
I said Caleb Farley. I said from in our draft, I was talking about Caleb Farley going to Tennessee. I thought he would be a. Actually, I wished Tennessee had kept Dory Jackson, and you could have had him and Farley back to back side by side. But I knew they had to cut Jackson. But I think that's a great fit to do how they what they want to do because they're going to want to play a little bit of man, and they're going to need someone with athleticism to run with wide receivers. So I think they got a good steal in the 20s for a guy who might be worth a top five, top 10 pick.
Yeah, definitely. For me, I took Arizona, Rondale Moore, the wide receiver. They got him in the second round, 49th pick overall. So I think that's great value for him. Not to mention, just Kyler Murray, the Kingsbury system out there. It's really a college style system. They got DeAndre Hopkins. They had, I think actually they ended up signing James Conner. And they still had their other running back, the backup running back there. So they have some great weapons there, and you add him there, that's your kind of your gadget wide receiver that can go do kind of the sweeps and the bubble screens and everything like that. So and he's not going to have anyone shadowing him with DeAndre Hopkins out there. So for him, man, that's a great situation to come into if you can win a starting job there. What about you? What's your next one?
My next one's pretty easy. I'm gonna go Fields. I think Justin Fields going to the Bears. I think we would mock them to have a quarterback, Mac Jones, but I was feeling my way. I said if any other team in this draft needed a quarterback, it was the Bears. And one of the funniest stats I've ever heard in my life is the Bears is and the Jets are the only teams that not have a 4,000-yard passer in a 16-game season. That's just incredible to me. And you think with all the quarterbacks they've had, they would have had somebody go with 4,000 yards pass, and they have not. I think Fields is good enough to break that record. Well, at least now it's 17 games, so they go down as a team that's never had a 4,000-yard passer in a 16-game season. That's crazy.
And who's got to be the most happiest? Allen Robinson, to have a allegedly accurate quarterback throwing him the ball with his list of quarterbacks he's had in his career throwing him the ball. It's been bad. I mean, Blake Bortles is where we start, and I don't need to say anything else after that.
He should go to the Hall of Fame based off the fact that he's got his numbers based off all the quarterbacks he's thrown him the ball.
If you list out the quarterbacks, and I think the I think there's like a stat for his what he was supposed to catch compared to what he actually caught, and it's like insane how good he is at catching the balls that are thrown his way that he should have no business catching. So Allen Robinson's probably the most underrated, underappreciated wide receiver in football. And if you have him or don't have him, and you should probably look at him in fantasy football. All right, next for me, I got for the Chargers, Rashawn Slater. We already talked him up. He's debated that he's the top offensive tackle in football coming out. So to have him slip to pick number 13, that is a crazy steal for the Chargers. And not only that, but they have went from having a mediocre offensive line to getting their gem quarterback, Justin Herbert, and now they have their stud offensive line. So you can see that offense is going to be scary, and I can't wait. I hope that we see their defense stay healthy because I would love to see how they compete against the Chiefs. So, what about you, Alex? What's your next one?
My next one is De'Ami Brown, drafted by the Washington football team. Hate to say that. He was one of my sleeper wide receivers, and they got him in the third round. I think Washington, there's a big fight on whether or not they should have traded up for a quarterback. I think the type of draft they had, especially drafting him, you got Samuels, and then you have Scary Terry. That's going to be a scary group of wide receivers to try to cover.
My next one's Minnesota. Just a move to trade down in the first round to get two additional third round picks and still get the offensive lineman that you wanted between either Vera Tucker and Darrisaw, I think is an absolute steal by them and well played. They didn't have a second round pick, so they acquired more third round picks. They had, I think, between third and fourth round, I think they had like seven picks between those two rounds, and they could have moved back in the second if they wanted. So, good on them for just executing really smartly. Actually, I think about it. I think they did pick in the second round, but what's your next one, Alex?
My next one, and it hurts me to say this, is Patrick Surtain to Denver. It seems like Denver's always got like really great cover corners, and everyone's thinking, well, they're pretty stocked up at corner right now. They don't need to draft a corner, and they draft Surtain, and you put him in that secondary, man. I mean, and you think about who they got to play. They got to play the Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to be a handful anyway. They got so much speed out there. You need cover corners and tons of them. And they got safeties and cover corners and go after Kansas City. So they're drafting for their division. So I can't hate them for that.
I was going back looking at the Vikings pick. So yeah, they had no pick in second round, four picks in the third, three in the fourth. So it's kind of crazy. But next for me is Jenkins for the Bears once again moving up to get a player that makes sense. So first off, getting Justin Fields, and now, like I said, getting one of the top offensive linemen in football at the 39th pick. He was a first round grade. He should have been drafted in the first round. Like I said, it was based off what happened early on in the draft that he didn't. So, those two teams, the Dolphins and the Bengals, when they miss out on their tackle, that's how they, that's what they should have done. They should have used their other picks on Jenkins, and they didn't. The Bears, so good on the Bears. Their first two picks are probably of any team's first two picks. Probably the Bears probably did the best on the first two picks. What's your next one?
My next one is kind of boring, but it's one of those New England things. They just stood pack and took Mac Jones. We talked about Mac Jones and how, what we thought of him. We didn't think he was a top three or top five quarterback, but we thought he definitely was worth taking in the first round. And New England didn't have to give up anything to go up to try to draft him. They just really just stood where they're at and drafted him. Bill Belichick drafts a lot of Alabama players, so he knows everything he needs to know about Alabama players. So he took Mac Jones in the first, and then he took their defensive tackle in the second round. So good value right there.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, and I'm gonna touch on Patriots later, so I'm not gonna say anything else about that. My last couple, I'm just gonna throw out back to back, and I'll let you do one more. Elijah Moore to the Jets. I think that's a tremendous steal. He's a first round talent, getting picked in the second round, so good for the. I think the Jets did a really good job early on in the draft. The last one for me is Williams. The Broncos got the top running back at pick number 35. Broncos just have a tradition of making running backs work, so I think that's a great fit. Hopefully, hopefully that offense can finally click with Drew Lock, and we can see what it actually looks like with everyone healthy. Alex, what's your last best pick?
This one's kind of like match made in heaven. It's Carolina drafting Terrace Marshall. Who's Carolina's offensive coordinator? Joe Brady. Who was Joe Brady originally at? LSU when he won the national championship a year ago, and Terrace Marshall was their wide receiver. So it was just kind of a glove thing, match made in heaven. So Carolina definitely needed a wide receiver, and it just made sense for him to get drafted there.
Definitely. All right, let's move over to the worst picks. So, what team do you what, or what not what team, but what do you think were some of the worst picks for you? What's your first one?
Worst one has got to be Kyle Trask to Tampa Bay. I am not a big Kyle Trask fan. I think he's a nice developmental, and that's really what they drafted him for. But if I was them, I would have drafted another player, keep building up that franchise before I even think about drafting somebody behind Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady really could play for another 5 years. I mean, who knows how long he's going to play? And then, you hold all your chips to draft a Kyle Trask. And then you also saw in the bowl game where he didn't have all of his weapons around. He looked very average. He didn't have Tony. He didn't have Pitts, and he looked really bad. He looked like a normal, like regular quarterback he'd get off the street. So I wasn't really big on the Kyle Trask pick.
You say Kyle Trask, and all I can think is Jeff Driscoll. So that's all I'm gonna say about that. The other thing is, they talked about Blaine Gabbert. Like they even said after the season's over, Blaine Gabbert is good enough to be the heir to Tom Brady. So I guess that didn't last very long. Because why else would you take Kyle Trask? And like I said, we talked about for the Bucks, which is the weird part is all these picks, they're luxury picks. You have your returning 22 coming back. To me, you should have swung for the fences big. Like even like for. If I was the Bucks, I would have pulled Ditka. I would have like packaged a ton of picks to move up for like one gem, and that and like something like that. Like that's all you would have to do as a Bucks fan, or I mean as the Bucks GM. Like you don't really need all these. A lot of the picks were weird by the Bucks. I really didn't like them. But my pick that I did not like going to the Rams. This is not a slight at Corey because Corey's not here to defend himself. I actually talked with Corey about this to try to get his insight on it, and I think we kind of agreed. So they took Atwell. This was their first pick. So your first pick was really having Jalen Ramsey, and I think we would all do that in a heartbeat, unless you were like a top three pick or something like that. But they went Atwell, pick number 57 overall. That was their first pick, but he's primarily a slot receiver. Worked out of the slot, only has a route tree that's kind of limited. And they said they wanted someone that could take the top off the defense, but as a slot receiver, I don't know if I understand that. Not to mention, who'd you just sign? DeSean Jackson. What does he do? Runs in a straight line really well. So I really don't understand. Not to mention, who are some of the best slot receivers in football? One of them, Cooper Kupp, who plays on the Rams. He lined up at about 57% of the time in the slot. So you took a player that you already have a strength. And you put someone else there, what are you gonna do with Cooper Kupp playing primarily outside? So, I mean, I really don't understand what the Rams are doing. And something, I talked with Corey is we are so thin on picks. You're one game at MetLife Stadium away from being the 49ers last year. Like, that's what the Rams are. They don't have a lot of good depth. So, to me, that was kind of a weird pick. I don't know why you would do that there. Alex, what's your next one?
My next one is Ian Book to New Orleans. I am a Notre Dame fan, but I just can't see it. I can't, especially how high they took Ian Book. I just can't see him. I can't see him making a roster, but I guess he's taking that high with the guaranteed money. He's probably going to make the roster. I think he's worthy of being late on the draft and put him on the bottom of your roster, and maybe you could develop him into anything, but I just didn't see New Orleans drafting him so high. New Orleans had a lot of weird stuff going on, but that's one I was just kind of like, why?
Yeah, I felt exactly the same way. I don't know why they did that. Especially you have two quarterbacks under contract next year that are starting, well, like maybe borderline, but starting caliber quarterbacks. So why would you use that pick there? I mean, you can't really develop him like that. My last worst pick is the Saints first round pick Turner, the defensive end out of Houston. I understand that he's, showed flashes of being a great pass rusher. And some of the things I read was on the post-draft analysis that you need to get after Tom Brady twice a year. But at the same time, that first pick, he was a ninth best defensive end. And he was, I think, like the second one picked, maybe the third one picked in the whole draft. I think Phillips and Kwity Paye were ahead of him. So you had these other outstanding defensive ends. He was graded a third round talent, and they took him at the end of the first round. And it's not like the Saints didn't have like picks later on. I mean, they had a second round, a third round, a fourth round pick. So why use that pick there? That didn't make any sense to me. So that's my last one, Alex. Do you have any more?
Well, I got one. You talked about defensive end, the Greg Russo pick. I'm not a big Russo fan. You being a Florida State fan, I hate to say this, but Russo had 15 sacks, I believe, the year before he opted out. And I think someone said they went and looked at every one of his sacks, and it's basically sacks against some of the worst offensive linemen you ever see. I mean, he's got the tools to make it in the NFL. The only thing about it is it's kind of like, is he good enough to play inside or outside? I could see the Buffalo draft him, but draft him in the first round. That's why I gave him Basham. I thought Basham was a way better pass rusher than Russo, but it kind of worked out at the end where they drafted Basham in the second round instead of drafting him in the first round. But I thought that was weird, but I guess they made up for it by drafting the guy I told him to draft later.
Yeah. And he, you know, he, like you said, I think a good amount of his pressure came from the inside. So like pass, obvious passing situations. So you're going to have a first round pick be a rotational player. That's probably not what you want. So I guess we'll see if he improves, but you know, he's a freak of nature, 6'7", 266. So he's a great athlete. We'll see if he puts it together. Let's move on to teams now. Let's start with teams that we think did the best. Alex, what was your what team do you think knocked out of the park for the draft?
I would say once again, hating this being a Cowboy fan, I thought the Washington football team did a very good job. I think they reached on Davis in the first round, but I think they got their left tackle in Cosmi. They drafted Jami Brown. They drafted a lot of starters and some people in the later rounds that could really come in and help them out. I thought they had a solid draft, and a lot of people in Washington football team, I heard, really mad they didn't trade up like the Bears did to go get their quarterback of the future. But I think this franchise does better when it has a veteran quarterback. They usually don't do great well with rookie quarterbacks. Veteran quarterbacks have won them Super Bowls in the past. So I think that was a better chance than in just sitting back and just drafting great players.
Well, come on, Heath Shuler, Gus Frerotte, RG3's one good year with two legs. I mean, they've had some Jason Campbell and his inability to slide. They've had some okay rookie quarterbacks or something, right?
That was a joke, right?
Yeah. Anyways, so for me, this is weird to say because I love hating on the Cowboys. I actually think Dallas did a really good job, not for any particular player. Yes, I could be like, oh, Mike Parsons is a great pick. Which, by the way, it's kind of weird. Penn State player, you know, I think so, should be a Philly fan, but he was really excited to be a Cowboy. So, anyways, Dallas had 11 picks. Eight of those 11 picks were on their defense. Two of the other three picks were offensive line. So, what I will say is, in terms of teams that drafted to their needs, I think the Cowboys did the best in terms of drafting to their needs. Now, I won't say that every one of those picks were a great pick, but what I will say is when you draft eight people for your defense, a couple of those have to pan out. So I think that Dallas did a really good job drafting to their needs and not getting crazy like some of these other teams did. So probably the only time you'll ever hear me give a compliment to Dallas. That's it. What about you, Alex? What other team do you have that did good?
I'm gonna give the New York Football Jets a chance. I thought they did very well. I like when I look at a draft, I kind of look and see, is this guy gonna be a starter? What's this guy gonna be? I thought they drafted probably four or five instant guys who are gonna help them out, and they drafted a couple of developmental players. But I like them trading up to get Vera Tucker. Vera Tucker might be one of the better offensive linemen in this draft. I love the Elijah Moore pick. Michael Carter, the running back, not the cornerback they drafted, but the running back they drafted. I think he's one of those mid-round running backs that you're going to hear about getting drafted and be a fantasy stud. So I just like what they did. They helped their quarterback out. They're going to draft a quarterback, whether or not they kept their old quarterback or not. You got to help your young quarterback, and they helped their young quarterback.
Yep, definitely. My next one is the Patriots. So the two teams competing for to be America's team. But for them, for Mac Jones, to have him fall to 15 to get a quarterback, so now you have insurance because the Jimmy G trade's not going to happen, at least this year. You have Mac Jones, who can back up Cam Newton or compete for the job. So we'll see how good he is. And, the Patriots always have a good offensive line, and Mac Jones does well behind a good offensive line. You add that with a good coach, he could be a good professional quarterback. My concern with him is just if you look at the tape, he didn't have to throw people open often because his wide receivers were so good that they were open. So we'll see how he is having wide receivers that can't separate as well. Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, people talk them up, but I wouldn't be very excited about that. The tight ends, yes. James White, sure, good check downs, but we'll see how Mac Jones does. He could end up being great quarterback. But outside of that, your next two picks, Barrymore and Perkins, they're all first round graded players. So to have them, and not to mention, if you look what say or Belichick did, he went after big programs. Mac Jones out of Alabama, Barmore out of Alabama, Perkins at Oklahoma, Stevenson at Oklahoma, McGrone out of Michigan, and then you got Missouri, Colorado, and UCF. So he went after big programs, places he was comfortable. And Belichick, he has a process, he has a system. The only thing he can't draft is wide receivers, but everything else he's pretty damn good at drafting. So I thought the Patriots did a really good job without having to move up or doing any crazy trades. Alex, do you have any other teams?
Yeah, I got the Cleveland Browns. They're starting to look scary, Brian. They drafted Greg Newsome. Good luck trying to pass on that secondary next year. They are loaded. Then they drafted JOK in the second round. That was a guy we had pegged in the first round. He slipped to the second round, so he's going to be a toss, especially in the NFC North. He's going to be hitting some people. Their offensive line is already great. They drafted James Hudson, Cincinnati left tackle. I think he could be a great depth piece. Tommy Togiai, the Ohio State defensive tackle. They just had a very good draft. They reloaded and restocked in some places. So, it's like we talked about earlier, as long as their quarterback can play up to par, this team's going to be a team to at least be in the Final Four or Final Eight next year.
Man, their defense. I'm looking at their starting defense right now. Myles Garrett and Javonte Clowney on the outside, Malik Jackson on the inside. The rookie they just got, Andrew Billings, linebackers. Adding JOK to that linebacking core, which they definitely need an upgrade. But their secondary, Denzel Ward, who didn't play a lot last year, getting back with Greg Newsome. Not to mention they've got Troy Hill, I believe from the Rams. Safeties Ronnie Harrison and John Johnson. John Johnson, one of the top safeties in the league, got from the Rams. Not to mention, last year, they drafted Grant Delpit, who was hurt, to get him back. Man, they have a good defense and they have some good depth players. So it's gonna be it's weird. Like, I'm actually excited to watch the Browns next year. I don't think I've said that since they drafted Tim Couch or something crazy or stupid. So yeah, I'm all on board. I'm on board for that. That's crazy how good they've changed that team around in like 2 years. My last one I got. And I don't know. I don't think I could say that they were as good as Dallas, New England. But I will say that based off potential for the picks they have, I love what Carolina did. They got the top corner. They got J.C. Horn. They had one of the other things. Terrence Marshall falling all the way, like you already talked about. I think that's a phenomenal pickup. Brady Christensen, the tackle out of BYU. It's kind of weird. He got a really low grade, but the thing that I don't know people know is he was technically the highest graded tackle in college football, protecting the blind side for Zach Wilson. He was a 96 grade, so there's clearly something about him that's maybe listed as he's only going to be good at the college level. But at the same time, they have two tackles. They signed a tackle to pair up with their elite tackle that they already have. So maybe he doesn't even have to play this year. Maybe he can just sit back a year and learn to bulk up and get better. So that's a potential pick. The running back, Chuba Hubbard, out of Oklahoma State. You got Christian McCaffrey. Now you have a running back, who, he's got good size and he's got good speed. And a year ago, he ran for over 2,000 yards at the college level for Oklahoma State. So he's a great running back. He just didn't really live up to this last year. So I love the picks that the Panthers made. Like I said, for me, they're based off potential. Right now, they're not the top draft, but in a couple of years, they could be one of those top teams for a draft if you look back. That's the last one I got, Alex. You got one more?
I'm going to go Kansas City. Kansas City didn't have any first round pick. They actually traded around and some other picks for Orlando, Big Zeus's son. But they got Nick Bolton in the second. That's a starting linebacker right there. They got Creed Humphrey. He might be the best center in the draft. And then in the sixth round, they got Trey Smith, who's a starting guard. I think I heard some things about him medically why he dropped, but they've solidified their offensive line in one season. Everyone was talking about how they lost the Super Bowl because of their offensive line, but with all the free agents signings like Tooney, and then the draft here, their offensive line is legit now. It's going to be hard to get into Patrick Mahomes this year. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah, it's definitely scary what they did because they bring back pretty much a lot of people. I don't think they really lost anyone other than the two tackles they wanted to lose, but they rebuilt that offensive line. All right, let's move on to let's wrap this up with the teams that we think did the worst. I'm going to start with one based off of what you were just talking about. You were talking about Creed Humphrey, the center that they drafted, who is, in the second round. He was actually a great pick where they drafted him. So the team before him, the Packers, took a different center, Josh Myers. So they passed on Creed Humphrey, who was a much better center, and took Josh Myers, the center at Ohio State, to maybe replace Corey Linsley, who went to the Chargers. Not really sure about that. But to me, I don't really understand what the Packers are doing. Yes, Eric Stokes has phenomenal speed. He has phenomenal speed. But at the same time, he was a third-round graded cornerback. So it was a very big reach. And once again, I've said this on the podcast over and over again. What is wrong with the scouting department and the general manager of the Packers? If I was a Packers fan, I would be furious. Once again, you do not get Aaron Rodgers the weapons he needs or make the good picks that he needs. Now, usually they do a pretty good job developing talent in later on picks. But that first round pick made no sense to me. The second round pick made no sense to me. Amari Rodgers is a third round pick. He's an okay pick there, but he's kind of like a slot receiver. He doesn't have a good route tree. He's not developed, so he's not going to come in and really help anytime soon. So to me, the Packers, I just think they missed on their picks, especially early on. To me, I know it's early. I just don't get it. Alex, what about you? Who do you have a team to? Didn't do very good.
I'm going to go to Raiders, and I know this is kind of a layup. We talked about Alex Leatherwood being drafted, because I'm hearing the Raiders actually think he's going to play left tackle. Good luck with having Alex Leatherwood play left tackle.
Oh,
But I'm going
boy.
to crack them for one reason. They drafted three safeties. They drafted Merrick in the second round. They drafted Devon Diablo in the third, and then they drafted Tyreek Gillespie. Now, I've heard some talks about Diablo. Diablo's versatile enough, he can play linebacker. But if you're going to draft a linebacker, draft a linebacker. Don't draft a safety and convert him to linebacker, which Diablo is flexible enough. But I know they needed safeties, but drafted three safeties and then reaching on a Leatherwood, that's a little bit too much. And then they traded up for Merrick, which I understood that makes sense. He probably was the best safety in the draft, but I'm just looking at this, especially with what the Raiders cut and what they lost in their offensive line. I just don't see them getting better. They've gotten worse offensively, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm looking at their depth chart. Like right now, they have Colton Miller listed there as a left tackle, and he was like graded like a 36, so he was average. So if Leatherwood does play right tackle, and he struggled at times tackle, he's better listed to be a guard, and they don't have really. I mean, Brandon Parker. I don't know if you want him playing as your starting right tackle. So yeah, I agree with you on that. My next one is the Steelers. I don't really think I have to say much about this. I'm just confused based off their first pick because Najee Harris. Like I said, you need to address the offensive line. They took a tight end with their second pick. He's all right. Their offensive line, though, taken third and fourth. The center that they took out of Illinois was a graded to be like a fifth or sixth round player. So I'm not really sure what they saw in that. And their tackle out of Texas A&M, they said they took some zone blocking offensive linemen. I'm pretty sure they're a power run team, so I'm not really sure what's going on. Took a punter with their seventh round pick, though, so maybe that's okay. But I don't get what the Steelers are doing. For me, if it's your last year for Big Ben, you solely build on the things that they need. Me and Alex talk about that. You need a linebacker. I think Bud Dupree went to the Titans. So, you need more linebackers. You need offensive line help. They didn't do that early on in the draft. And just like a tight end, why would you take a tight end? The Steelers have a tight end. So I don't like it. That second round pick, you have Eric Ebron. You brought him in for a reason. So now it doesn't make sense to me. So yeah, I just think the Steelers missed the mark. Once again, Steelers and Packers, two great franchises. You have quarterbacks at the end of their rope, and you're not helping them the way you should help them. You should be going all in for those quarterbacks. Your window's closing. You saw what it was like with Mason Rudolph. Get ready for that because that's happening soon. You're going back to Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins Jr. You probably should have embraced this better. Alex, what do you got for your next team?
I feel bad for this next franchise because they're kind of on the list for default reasons, and that's Seattle. You traded two first round picks for a box safety. So congratulations to them for that. But also with that, they didn't have a lot of picks to begin with. So they only had three picks. They drafted Dwayne Eskridge out of Western Michigan. He's a nice little slot receiver. I don't know if he could play outside. I know they needed another wide receiver, but there were other wide receivers that I would have took way over Eskridge. And a lot of people say he could probably go in the third or fourth round, and they took him in top of the second. Once again, they probably should have took offensive lineman to help their quarterback who's in his prime, who just complained about getting hit too much. So that's something they missed out on. They desperately needed cornerback help. They took a cornerback in the fourth round, Trey Brown. He's one of those Pete Carroll cornerbacks that you take basically on traits, not on skills. So Lord knows what they're going to get from them. But I do like that they got Stone Forsythe in the sixth round. But once again, they're not helping their quarterback, and they're definitely not helping their defense.
All right, my last one, the Saints. I already talked about Payne Turner, their first pick. As a player, I get it, but in terms of value, didn't make sense to me. You need these few pieces you can get to try to compete with the Bucs next couple of years. Their team needs wide receiver, corner, outside linebacker, safety, and guard were all needs that they had. Pick where Turner was picked, you had the option of Elijah Moore. Every single safety was available. Tevin Jenkins was available. Raddins, the tackle out of North Dakota State, who a lot of people had first round grades on. There were people there that you could have taken. Asante Samuel, the cornerback, was available there also. So to me, I don't get it. I don't understand what the Saints are doing. On top of that, I know Alex said something about Pete Werner. They took him in the second round, and he was graded as the 99th ranked overall player. So he was technically a third to fourth round grade, right? Like a late third round grade. Took him a whole round early. On top of that, Alex, we were talking about the Ian Book pick, not deserving of a fourth round pick. That made no sense at all. I don't understand. I don't get it. I mean, obviously, this is easy for us to say this for the day after. We'll see what happens when the season happens next year and in 2 years, but. The Saints were my last team. That made no sense, Alex. Do you have one more?
This team's similar to Seattle, not having top picks, and that's Houston. I don't think they drafted one player I could say to myself is going to be a projected starter. You might say Davis Mills is, which the Davis Mills pick was kind of a red flag saying probably going to be moving on from Deshaun Watson. But the way this roster is, you're going to be picking in the top 5 or 10 next year. You're going to be looking at quarterback anyway. Why waste a draft pick on a Davis Mills when you already got Tyrod Taylor in the building? Lord knows what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson going forth. But this is one of the bottom franchises, and their draft didn't really do anything. I like Nico Collins, but Nico Collins is making their life better. Brevin Jordan dropped to the 5th round, tight end out of Miami. A lot of people liked him in the 2nd or 3rd, but just not helping out the roster. They need a defensive help. They need an offensive line help. And to tell you the truth, they didn't get better at any of those positions. So.
Yep. All right. That's it for this one. So we're gonna do one more draft podcast. We're gonna probably do kind of like rookie of the year predictions, kind of other items that we didn't cover this time. Maybe how they help fill into the team needs of the teams. But we're gonna do one more podcast about the draft here in the next week or so. So thanks for listening, guys. Alex, any last comments on your side?
Nope, just everybody have a good week, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, so thanks for listening, guys. Once again, Sports Talk for Fans by Fans is the Facebook page we're on. We'll be posting polls up there and talking to you guys on there. So check us out, subscribe, like, share, and we'll hopefully listen to you guys. You'll listen to us next week. Thanks.